Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Matt Swallows. And on our show, we like to talk about local topics, local things going on, persons of interest even, something you hear about, you know a little bit about, but maybe you want to know more about. We want to dive in a little deeper. And on the show recently, we've had a series of meeting with all the local judges and getting to know them and exactly what they do and what led them to serve. And we've had several on so far. And it's also a chance for the listeners to try to understand the judicial system. And it's also a chance that I can learn a little bit about the judicial system because I don't understand it either. But so with us today, we have criminal court judge David Patterson of the 13th Judicial District. Judge Patterson, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm glad you could take time out of your schedule to come. And we'll mention why I really wanted to get you on sooner rather than later. We'll talk about that in the second half of the show, but tell us a little bit about you. So tell us your story.
All right. I began at a very early age, obviously, but I had an opportunity in the early 80s to work with the General Sessions judge here. He had the juvenile court also. Bill Baird Griffith was a man that hired me back in 1983. We're going back quite a ways.
Yeah, that is quite a ways.
Some of your listeners were not born at that time, I think. He hired me as a youth service officer. Greg Bowman has that position now. Greg does a great job with that, and his role is very different than what mine was. I was the administrator of the juvenile court at that time. We were at the old courthouse.
Okay.
We were in the courtroom that had wooden benches, and the population was different, and there weren't as many young people doing as many bad things.
Yeah,
at that time. But he hired me, and after a couple of years there, he said, you need to go to law school, and he paid for my law school.
That's pretty awesome.
Went to Nashville School of Law.
So when you started there, was that your intent to go to law school, or were you just looking for a job at the time?
My father, one of my earliest memories is my father telling me, son, you need to be a lawyer.
Okay.
And so that sort of got impregnated in me, so to speak. And through high school, I thought that would be a likely course that I would take. I lived in Michigan.
Okay.
My father worked for Ford Motor Company. He was transferred different places. We lived in Ohio, but I basically grew up outskirts of Detroit. And upon leaving there, I went to Central Michigan University and got a teaching degree, and put that on hold for quite a while until I met up with Bill Baird Griffith.
Gotcha.
And he said,
so Central Michigan, is that the Chippewas?
It is a Chippewas.
All right.
It is.
Yeah.
They talk about chipping and tipping there. Don't know that I did either of those, but somehow I got a degree in education.
Yes.
And but anyway, that then was said to me by him, you need to go to law school. It's
so
interesting.
Two very influential people told you you need to be a lawyer.
And it is, I believe it's really important what people say to other people.
And it is.
How you create images in other people's lives and how they can be followed up on. And anyway, he paid for it.
Yeah.
He paid for 4 years of law school at Nashville School of Law.
It's amazing how you can touch somebody's life just by some things that you say to them. You know, you just never know. Always watch your tongue is what I tell people.
Boy, it's the truth.
You never know who's listening and how they take things to heart.
It is true.
So from Michigan to Cookeville.
Yes.
How did that happen?
There were a couple stops along the way, but friends had moved to the Upper Cumberland area.
Okay.
They lived in Clay County at the time. They said, this is a beautiful place. You should come and see what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Had no other strings upon us. My wife and I traveled there and loved it, bought property in Clay County,
mm-hmm.
bought property in Jackson County, met Bill Griffith along the way.
Okay.
And there we come to Cookeville.
And there you go.
In the early 80s to Cookeville, but we were in the Upper Cumberland in 1976 is when we came here.
Nice. We're meeting with Judge David Patterson, criminal court judge of the 13th Judicial District. Judge Patterson, so... Two influential people told you need to go to law school. So you went to law school, then you started practicing right after that, I guess?
I did.
Here in Cookeville?
Bill Gibson
okay.
Was elected the district attorney and began his reign as district attorney in 1990. I came out of law school in late 89, graduated from law school there at Nashville, and he asked me to join him.
Okay.
I became an assistant district attorney and worked 16 years with him as an assistant district
attorney.
Wow. Yeah.
Didn't realize you were there that long.
It was a long time.
So what made you decide to run for judge? Another powerful, influential person kind of pushed you that direction?
No, there was a good opportunity to win that election. It was necessary. We really needed another judge in that position. So I was encouraged by other attorneys and other people in the community, law enforcement and others, to run for that position. So in 2005 was the campaign, and the election was 2016. I'd been with the district attorney for 16 years and got to know the system really well and a lot of people that wound up voting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Very close election, by the way.
Very close. Mm-hmm. Very close. So the 13th Judicial District, that is seven counties. Is that right?
It is.
So you had that's tough campaigning, seven counties, isn't it?
It is. I worked in those counties also with the district attorney's office. It's the same judicial district. Primarily, I was
that really helped, didn't it?
It really did.
Lended itself to knowing a lot of people around the area.
It did. Yeah, I prosecuted primarily in Cumberland County and Putnam County, which are the big ones.
And is it correct? We have two criminal court judges in this district. Is that correct?
We do. Judge McKenzie and I share the bench. He today is in Putnam County doing a docket. We generally are in one court or another. I happen to have an open day today to be able to be with you.
And I appreciate that.
Yes.
So the criminal court judge, tell us exactly, I mean, obviously criminal is pretty self-explanatory, but tell us a little bit about what you see. And because I think a lot of people get confused, circuit court, criminal court, chancellor, all that, all the verbiage can get a little confusing. So criminal court, obviously, you see folks that have broken the law, right?
That's what it is.
Okay.
And the position that I have is the trial position for the state and for this district, then this district with the seven counties, 13th Judicial District. And so it is the place where you can have a jury trial. It is primarily to be used for felony-type cases rather than the misdemeanors, which should stay in the general sessions court.
Okay. So felonies is what you see, and you have the trial. Actually, I was called for jury duty underneath you several years ago.
Well, how'd that go?
I got out of it.
You did.
Well, I knew the parties involved.
Well, let us talk with Jennifer Wilkerson. We'll see if we can get you back in there.
I actually grew up with the defendant. So
I see.
And knew
mm-hmm.
he and his family, and
I see.
So it was. I didn't need to be in that one.
It was good reason for you not to be in that one.
It absolutely
was.
You
knew him. Yeah.
Went to high school with the ADA prosecuting it.
Yes.
Went to school with the defendant.
Yes.
Kind of knew everybody in the courtroom when I walked in.
You kind of know a lot of people, you know. You actually do, Matt Swallows. You know that.
Well, I mean, yeah, and these folks were from Livingston, so uh-huh. where I grew up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I had never been called to jury duty,
mm-hmm.
and I got it, and it's actually when I was in office. I got this, and I thought, I'm sure there's probably a way I could get out of this, but I don't want to. I wanted to see the process because I've never done it. And so I it was a grand jury. So I was planning on going there and taking part and seeing what it was all about. But then, like I said, I walked in the courtroom and I look and I'm like, oh gosh, I know everybody in here. This is not, you know, I don't see how I could sit for this one. But, and you called on me, I think the second person. You called on me.
Yes.
I told you why.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I got out of it. So not that I was trying to. I needed not to be in that one. So
you know, one of the things that I've seen is that juries really do a good job.
That's good.
They really sort through what it is, and they make decisions which very much seem to be true. True decisions, the way that I see it anyway. The evidence is presented. You give them the law. And if it's not a first-degree murder and it looks like a second-degree murder, they come back with second-degree murder.
Really?
If it's not proven, they say that. There have been times when they've come back in and said the state did not prove the case, and then they reprimand the defendant and say,
really?
Don't you ever do that again.
Really?
Things like that. Yeah, it's very interesting.
But
it's a it's not surprising because of the good people that are here, but it is always makes me feel really good to know that the juries are doing a really good job.
Mm-hmm. We're meeting with Judge David Patterson with the 13th Judicial District Criminal Court Judge. So you do trial juries.
Yes.
So does, I guess, Judge McKenzie not have the jury?
He does the same. No.
Okay. So you all
we've got enough business. That
oh no, that's not good though, is it?
With the seven counties, we're in one county or another all the time.
Yes.
And as cases are set for trial, he may be having a trial in White County while I'm having one in Cumberland or Putnam or Overton. And we have what are called non-jury days too, where people come and they may be a first appearance on arraignment. You're telling them what the charge is and making sure they have a lawyer. Or it may be a deadline case where they're announcing that they've resolved their case or they need a trial date. We call those non-jury days, and then we have the jury days, which are the trial days. So
gotcha.
The two of us stay very busy. In fact, he may have told you, but we may be two of the busiest judges in the state.
I don't doubt it. And guys, I mean, do you have the largest district? Is that
we
right?
We have the largest
land?
Geographic,
yes.
But we also have a great number and population.
We were meeting with Judge David Patterson, criminal court judge of the 13th Judicial District. And when we return from the break, we will talk about the next chapter in Judge Patterson's life.
Can't wait.
Thank you.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Matt Swallows, and with us today is criminal court judge, Judge David Patterson. Sorry about that. Didn't want to call you Mr. I need to call you Judge, right?
No, you call me. Just don't call me late for supper.
He's with us today just talking about his story, how he got to where he is. And one thing I do want to ask you, because you've been in the system, court system, really, since you first got down here in 83, is that what you said?
Yes, it's 35 years. I'm walking out of the office one day, it will be 35 years.
So, obviously, 35 years, and I know Cookeville is growing fast now.
Amazing.
But tell me some changes. What's different now than when you started, other than population, which we know that's a big difference?
A really interesting thing that has gripped the nation, obviously, in our small area, the opioid addiction that they were created and thought to be non-habituating or addictive, and they are so addictive. And basically, they're given to a population here in the Upper Cumberland, people that are on fixed incomes and Medicare and Medicaid, and they are at times given 90 pills per month to take three a day, and it has very much changed the criminal justice system.
Wow.
The number of people that are doing that become addicted to it, and then selling and dealing that prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Methamphetamine changed things also. 83, we were dealing with marijuana.
Okay.
And people growing marijuana, large plots of marijuana. It appears to me at some point Tennessee will legalize or in some,
seems to be.
Some form.
Seems
will,
to be.
Will be regulating the use of marijuana, but we'll be using, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has created a very different climate for crime in the Upper Cumberland.
Would you say, and I think I talked to Judge McKenzie about this, but in your court system, in the criminal court side, how many percentage-wise of cases that come through there have links to drugs, alcohol, or domestic abuse? I mean,
almost all.
Almost all of them.
And the domestic abuse.
And maybe
abuse,
the drugs and alcohol lead to the domestic abuse.
It does. And so almost all. We can, it either happens when a person is high on alcohol or drugs, or it happens for the person to be able to get more drugs, mm-hmm. break-ins and things of that nature.
I talked to a police officer a couple of years ago, and he was telling me that the hardest calls he has to go on are the domestic calls, and they're the most dangerous, but unfortunately that's the most frequent calls he has to go on.
I'm sure that it is.
And what folks don't understand, I mean, first off, I want to say this. If you get called for jury duty, please go in and serve. Please do that. We're all supposed to do that, but please do that. But I mean, I think a lot of folks just have no idea what all goes on around here in our area. I mean, I was naive to it until I got elected, until I got in office, and I started seeing some things, especially the child abuse stuff. I just didn't think that existed. That's a big city problem, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of thought drugs, that's a big city problem.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's right here on us.
One of the other things that has changed since 1983, sound like the dinosaur walked into the room.
I was 9 years old then, by the
way. Yes, well, I was older than you and was a youth service officer. But the internet and what you can find on the internet, what you can do on the internet, what you can see and become a part of has very much changed our lives, mm-hmm. too, and has changed the way that men look at children, and many of our cases are child pornography cases and child abuse cases, child sexual abuse cases. Very different than what it was. I'm not talking about this being a special area for that the Upper Cumberland. I'm talking about the nation as a whole.
The nation.
What you can find, what you can see, what it is that's available to you was never available to you prior to now. And it affects our small towns in the 13th.
It does. It does. Are there, I mean, I know you mentioned the opioid, the methamphetamines. Are those the most overwhelming things, I guess the things that you've seen in your career that have affected you the most or been had a profound impact on how you see things? And
well, it has definitely changed our society and our local society. The things that I guess have most impacted me are the cases that I tried or that I prosecuted when I was with the district attorney's office, mm-hmm. and the murder cases and the rape cases that were tried probably there, impacted me.
You were in office when there was a very high profile murder case here several years back.
The Byron Looper, mm-hmm. Was convicted of killing Tommy Burks. There was a mountain of evidence to show that he had done that, and I worked with that case. It was interesting. They went to his farm, and Randy Porter was out there, and Putnam County was working that particular crime scene. And Randy Porter looked at where we were, and he said, "Fellas, we're in Cumberland County." The Burks farm, mm-hmm. Crossed both lines.
Yes.
And the Cumberland County was called out. Eventually, that case was heard by a jury from East Tennessee.
Okay.
We had to go that far to find those that could possibly hear that case, yeah. and brought them to Cumberland County to hear that case. That was a big case.
That was a big
case.
That
took a long time, but it impacted me a lot.
Yeah.
Just how we went about doing that and mm-hmm. that a state senator was killed here locally.
That's crazy.
It was just beyond what we would think would happen here.
Yeah. We're speaking with Judge David Patterson, criminal court judge of the 13th Judicial District. And I mentioned earlier on timing getting him in to speak with us. And the reason we had to go ahead and try to get him in is because you have a big milestone coming up in about 2 months or less than 2 months, I guess. Is that right? You want to tell us a little bit about what's going on?
June 30, I will pack my bag and leave my office. I'll be retiring from the bench. There's a couple more years that are left in this term, but it was time for me to do that, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple of grandsons, one that is 5 years old, one that's 1 year old, one that is on the way. I'll have
congratulations, by the way.
I appreciate that. And so, you know, at some point you wonder who's going to spend your retirement if you don't.
Yeah.
And after 35 years, there's a little bit of money in that still for me. And And so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. So first, before we dig into all the honeydew lists you have coming up, and grandchildren, of course, what's the process to replace you? Because it's been in the paper, and folks may have hear stuff or read the headline, but not really know exactly how it works.
Yeah, it's hard to just walk away from this particular job because the governor has to make an appointment, and you need to give him 60 days in order to do the work that he needs to do. Once you
with a new governor, too, somewhat new governor.
It is. So. It will be interesting for him. I'm sure he's got a good staff that's going to help him well with it. But in this particular position, then you give notice. There is a notice that is given to those who might be qualified. They make their application. They have done that. There will be a hearing, which will be had the third week of this month, where a committee, which is appointed by the governor, will decide three names, three of those four applicants. Mm-hmm. One will not be chosen. Those names will go to the governor, and he'll make his choice. Who will be the person who will begin the job July 1.
And then they'll have an election fairly quickly. Is that right?
I believe that the election that they're going to have is going to take place in March.
Okay.
I think from what I can see, that's the first election they will have. That's a primary election. There will be another election, I believe, in September of 20.
Okay.
And then there will be a regular election in 22. This person is going to, whoever it is, will be campaigning hard for
pretty consistently for 3 years there.
He will. Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's none of your concern now, is it?
No, it's not. I want to say, though, that it is important for your listeners to know it is important to vote.
Yes.
When I was voted in 2006, I won by a margin of 9 votes.
Really? I didn't realize it was that close. I knew it was close.
But it was beyond close.
Yeah.
There were 40,000 votes that were cast. I have not got the percentage on that.
Yeah.
It's wasn't quite like the Kentucky Derby in the the last man.
Yeah.
The 65-1 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it was very close. I was known as landslide to the other judges in the circuit level judges throughout the state. Landslide Patterson.
That's funny. I didn't know that. I should have been calling you Landslide instead of Judge Patterson, right?
Well, you can call me Dave if you'd like now. I'll be walking out of the office relatively soon.
So, okay, you have grandchildren, 2 grandchildren, a third on the way.
Yes.
Of course, you have family here. Your kids are here.
Yep.
What are some things that you have planned? I mean, are you going to pick up a hobby?
Matt, I'm going to talk you into running again. We're going to see if we can get you in the political process again.
You have your work cut out for you.
Well, we'll get a few others, and we'll try to talk you into that again. I have been talking with some others about some possibilities for doing some type of work.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed being on the floor and presenting cases. I may do that after a short break and do it on my own time anyway. But there's some other things that could become available to me. I teach at Tech.
Okay.
I'm a
I don't know if I knew
professor.
That.
I've been doing that for 20 years.
Okay.
And so I might ask to pick up another class, evening class. I'll teach one in the fall again, and as long as they'll have me.
So what do you teach there?
I teach criminal justice science.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking business law for some reason. I had to take that class.
It's something that I know something about.
Yeah.
Thank heavens, the criminal law. So I'm not so good on the business law.
Yeah. Yeah. So traveling, you and your wife going to travel?
No plans to do that. We've got some friends that live in North Carolina. We may be traveling with them a little bit. We're talking about that.
Well, Judge Patterson, I want to say, first off, thank you for your service. Thank you for sitting on the bench and being a good influence in our area and for doing everything you've done. Running in a campaign like that is not easy, so it takes a lot of sacrifice just to even get there.
You know that, don't you?
I do. Okay. But then once you get there, there's even more sacrifice. So now I want to say thank you for that. Thank you for your service.
Yes, sir.
And also want to say thank you for coming on the show. But
I enjoyed it.
Also want to say happy retirement.
Thank you, sir.
And this is exciting.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Now you can figure out how to do all the woodwork in the house and all these honeydew things.
I'm going to have to figure out how to clean the pool. Well, I'm going to become the pool guy for the summer. Anyway.
You're the pool guy.
I am, yes.
All right. Well, thank you again, and thank you for coming to Local Matters. And that was Local Matters. See you next time.